Former Prime Minister, who died in 2005, has been drawn into the national debate on child sexual abuse, with a number of police forces saying that they are investigating unspecified allegations. His life is therefore back in the spotlight. The bachelor Prime Minister, a man of passions for music and for sailing, but despite his prominence in politics and public life for decades, an intensely private figure too. Robert Armstrong, later Lord Armstrong, became a close friend after he became Principal Private Secretary in the Prime Minister's office when Ted Heath came to power in 1970. Robert Armstrong later became Cabinet Secretary and Head of the Civil Service, and their friendship lasted until the end of Heath's life. I've been speaking to Lord Armstrong about the allegations made against the former Prime Minister, how the police have dealt with them, and the wider inquiry into sex abuse. First, Ted Heath and the claim made against him.
I totally believe that it's untrue. You can't prove a negative, can you? But it seemed to be so totally uncharacteristic and so unlikely that I didn't believe it to be true, and I wondered what the source, the reliability of the source was.
Have you had any communication from any police force? Because you were very close to Sir Edward as a friend and advisor over many years, suggesting whether the information is credible or not. Have you any way of judging whether there is any credibility that can be attached to the accusations that have been made?
I've heard nothing from the police at all. And so my incredulity is based on what I know about the way of life of a man and about his character and his personality.
Before we come to those matters, are you surprised that the police haven't been in touch with you, given the fact that you were a Principal Private Secretary at Number 10, and then through your years in Whitehall subsequently, you maintained a very close friendship with Sir Edward, which everybody knew? Are you surprised that they haven't been in touch with you?
I'd not thought about it like that, Jim. I don't think I was surprised, no.
But it is rather odd that, for example, there was a press conference, effectively a press conference, an announcement made outside Sir Edward's house. Did that surprise you?
Yes, it did. I thought it was disgraceful.
Does that extend to the way this whole thing has been handled by the police?
I think that the Metropolitan Police have shown how you should handle it. Clearly, they have had allegations reported to them. They've investigated them and have decided that there was nothing to them. But they have not gone public with all that. They've done that as it should be done in private. Clearly, when criminal offences of this kind have been committed, they ought to be investigated. But I think that the way that this is particular matter has been handled, partly by the police, partly by the media, because the allegations are so unspecific and unsubstantial, that should have been done in private. And I think that the publicity for all this has been against justice and unfair.
You mentioned practical questions about the way Sir Edward lived his life as Prime Minister and subsequently, and then your personal reflections on him as a man. On the practical front, what makes you convinced that, as a practical matter, in your view, this was unlikely?
I think, Jim, it was very unlikely. When he was at home in Salisbury, he had two Wiltshire constabulary policemen on the gate, at least one and sometimes two. He had the personal protection officer from Scotland Yard in the house, people always in the house. He never drove a car himself. He always had an official driver. And it just seems to me highly unlikely that he could have escaped all that to do the kind of thing that is described, the kind of thing which is, as I say, completely uncharacteristic.
Well, you say uncharacteristic. What is it about the character that you knew that makes you believe, quite apart from the practical matters you've just discussed, that this, in your view, doesn't ring true?
Well, I knew him for 35 years. I worked very closely with him while he was Prime Minister, and we remained friends for the rest of his life, and I saw quite a lot of him. And as you know how it is, you usually detect some sense of sexuality when you are with people, or if you were friends with them, or you work closely with them. I never felt a whiff of sexuality about Ted Heath.
Of any
whether
kind?
It was in relation to, whether it was in relation to women or men or children. None at all. I think he was, as Philip Ziegler describes him in the biography, I think he was completely asexual. There are some people like that. There are not many of them, I don't think, but there clearly are, and I think he was one of them.
Was it ever a subject you discussed with him?
Not at all, no. The matter never came up. I knew that he had a girlfriend when he was young, you know, before the war and then during the war, and I knew that he kept the photograph of that girlfriend by his bed for the rest of his life. I came to the conclusion that he had never felt sure enough of being able to provide for her, to propose marriage to her. She'd gone off and got married to somebody else, and he'd determined never to be treated like that again.
When you were working in Number 10, and subsequently, were any allegations made of any kind concerning him that were serious enough to be reported to the authorities?
None at all. I don't remember any such allegations.
You see, it's interesting because, as you know, this whole issue post-Jimmy Savile has spread very widely. And there are a lot of people who believe that somehow the establishment, in some of its forms, was covering up for some people. Not talking about Ted Heath at this moment, more generally. Now, you were, in effect, at the heart of that establishment for many years as Cabinet Secretary. Would you have passed to the police any credible information about anyone in the government, high or low, suggesting wrongdoing?
If I had thought there was a criminal offence being committed, then I should have certainly reported that.
Did you ever find yourself in that position?
I don't remember doing so, no.
And when you have read and heard some of the accusations...
I remember leaks. There was a leak of information where there was a possibility of bringing in the police, but that, of course, has nothing to do with this.
But when you hear these allegations that there was somewhere in the depths of Whitehall or Westminster a ring of people who were engaged in illegal activity and who covered up for each other and who were perhaps helped by some people in authority, what's your reaction to that?
Well, I don't think it's impossible. I wasn't aware of it at the time.
Did you ever hear any rumours to that effect?
I think certainly not while I was Heath's principal private secretary. I don't remember any such allegations then.
There was also the now infamous question of Geoffrey Dickens, Conservative backbencher at the time, and his dossier, you know, which seems to have gone missing. I mean, when you look back on those years and you hear these things, do you worry that there was stuff which just disappeared under the radar and should have been looked at?
I don't remember thinking like that at the time at all.
It has been reported, and it's worth giving you just an opportunity to confirm this, that you recommended that Jimmy Savile shouldn't receive a knighthood during the Thatcher period, because you were concerned about some things that had been said where he talked about having sex with women and charity things and so on. Is that true? Did you urge caution?
I did suggest to Margaret Thatcher that it would be better not to give him a knighthood, yes.
On those grounds?
The grounds were not as specific as that. It was just there was a general sense around that things around Jimmy Savile weren't quite as they should be. I can't say that there were specific allegations which caused me to write, but there was a sense in which it would be taking a risk which she didn't need to take.
When you read what's being said now about the need to investigate any allegation, how do you balance that, which is clearly in the public interest, that allegations should be investigated properly, with your feeling in relation to Ted Heath, that the police, in your view, behaved wrongly by going public on the fact they were investigating without revealing what the accusations were? How do you balance those two things, the need for proper scrutiny and the fact that you feel that this one wasn't handled well?
I think that allegations which appear to be credible should be of criminal offences should be investigated, of course. But I think that when the allegations are so insubstantial or so unsupported as these are, that investigation should take place in private. and they shouldn't be publicised in the way it has been here. I think that's been very remiss. Well, I think that's where the Metropolitan Police got it right. They pursued the investigations, but they didn't publicise it.
Among those who have died, there's another prominent figure who is frequently mentioned in this context and, of course, cannot defend himself. Leon Britton, who was, of course, one-time Home Secretary and Trade Secretary when you were Cabinet Secretary. Do you feel similarly in that case as you do in the Ted Heath case?
Well, I didn't know Leon Britton as well as I knew Ted, of course. He wasn't, in that sense, a close friend. But yes, I did. I thought that, once again, the allegations should have been investigated without media involvement, unless it reached the point where criminal charges were going to be made. Then, of course, it has to be public.
Did those allegations come as a surprise to you?
They did, yes. I had not thought that. I had not thought of him in that context at all.
We're clearly in the midst of a proper inquiry, which has been set up by the government into all sorts of aspects of child abuse in the aftermath of the Savile affair, and that will take its time. What kind of investigation should that be, and what's necessary, do you think, to assure the public that this is going to be done properly, and if stables need to be cleaned, they are cleaned?
Well, I think that inquiry has got to go ahead, no holds barred, and what the chairman has said suggests that that is going to happen. My fear is that this is going to take a very long time, and that it will make Chilcot and Savile look like easy money.
Lord Armstrong, thank you very much.
And just to clarify, that reference to Savile in the end was, of course, the Savile inquiry, the Bloody Sunday inquiry, which took so long. Lord Armstrong, the former Cabinet Secretary.